Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
You got a good job. You got it together.
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
So confident.
That's the key, buddy. Confidence.
You put me in front of a million lines of code, and I'm confident that I will make it better and grok it within a couple of hours. You put me in front of a woman, I'm going to mess it up. There's just no two ways about it. So you could say I'm extremely confident.
There you go.
Confidence is key.
All right. We ready to get this going?
Yes, sir.
Shitting.
All right.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people.
Right.
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one. Quarter pounder
with cheese in France, Mickey? What? Boy, ale with cheese. Yeah. I can totally
see. See?
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly saw sacrifice at my progeny to view a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success? Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host, Dave.
And John.
And this week, boys and girls, JD is not with us. He had something he had to take care of. So filling in for him.
Oh, God, stop.
We have our reviewer extraordinaire, D-Square, joining us. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. And, of course, now the circle is complete. When I left JD, I was but a learner. Now I am the master.
I thought me being sick, I'd have the soldiery voice, but I tip my hat to you, sir.
Yes, so the last time you joined us, we were reviewing a Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah, that was a good old time, for sure.
Are we still trying to milk that, really?
I'm not trying to milk anything.
Yeah, except it was our, highest listened to episode ever, apparently.
In a long time, yes.
There you go.
A lot of people wanted to know how angry they had to be at us.
or with us.
Or with us. So then, Donald, have you been up to anything fun since you were with us last? How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, man. Total fun. That's what my life is. But for real, no, I've been, I've had my YouTube channel, of course, which you've been so kind to plug here and there. But I actually did start an actual podcast on Podbeam. So the first episode of House D is up there. I shared that, of course, on my Twitters at DSquare72. Still waiting for iTunes to review it. But, yeah, I had a... had a lot of fun with Volsker and J100, so that's pretty much it. That's been the focus for a little bit.
Yeah, iTunes does take a while before they approve it, but unless it's, you know, nothing but white supremacist propaganda, I'm pretty sure you'll get on.
Oh, they'll let that right through, huh?
they tend to, yes.
Well, since J100 is an African-American gentleman, I don't think that's going to fly.
Okay, good. So there you go.
no white supremacy on the House of D.
Good. Cool. So listeners should be checking that out. And if they're not already following you on Twitter, I think they should. And check out not only that and your videos that you do on YouTube. They're great.
Thank you.
Hey, if you like if people like the reviews you write for our website, they'll love your show. So.
All right. That's kind of you to say. Appreciate that.
How about you, John? Done anything fun since last week or interesting?
I have done absolutely nothing of note since last week.
Really?
Yes. Except I did watch the final two episodes of the Crisis crossover on CW.
Uh-huh.
And I am extremely happy with it. And it's continuing to blow my mind.
Did you see it, Donald?
Yeah, I did watch the last two episodes as well.
So we can say the word spoilers right now, right? Just in case we mention it, because that might be, you know, something we talk about a lot.
Yes, I think, and we can talk about it, and we don't have to worry about JD having not watched it yet, so there you go. Ha!
I don't even think he gets the CW. I don't think he has access to it at this point.
It's free.
Yeah. You just need an antenna.
Or the CW app. It actually was like, hey, Crisis on Infinite Earth stuff right here. And you just click it. And
that's how I watched it, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised considering, like, they can use that. Well, we'll talk about it, but, like Marvel, you can now use that to jump from there into the movies, apparently. But we'll go. We'll get there.
Yeah,
cool. I joined a gym. Joined LA Fitness.
Good for you.
And I went twice so far since I joined. And I'm planning to go tomorrow. My son and I are going together. We're planning to go every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the mornings. So we'll see how long we can keep it up. I was sore this morning. And then I was like, eh. I grabbed my weights and kept exercising a little bit today. And I'm like, is there something wrong with me?
That's called motivation there, baby, and that's a good thing. Just don't hurt yourself. You know that.
Yeah.
As a one-time athlete myself, I will tell you to make sure you cycle through the muscle groups. But no, kudos to you, man. I'm literally sitting 20 feet away from a treadmill that's in front of a TV, and I still don't get on it. So kudos to you.
Yes. My treadmill... has been a coat rack for years.
Exactly. Fancy coat rack.
So yes, it was actually my daughter's idea to join the gym, and we got a family plan, but she hasn't gone yet.
That's how it is.
Yeah. So, and she doesn't listen to this, so oh well. She can't hear me making fun of her. Cool. So what else happened this week? We had a little bit of social media madness to talk about. John's favorite part of the show.
Ironically, yes.
We had talked about the Flash movie and that it's still going to be based on Flashpoint.
At that point, we were talking about it, and we apparently didn't... At that point, we didn't have a piece of information that we do have now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the... Oh, yes. We'll get to
think
that in
of,
a second.
Yeah, we'll get
to that in a second.
right.
The Ucho Duro Parlay Hour podcast had said I'll believe it when I see it. Not amped up for Flashpoint at this stage. Which is true. They've been talking about it for years and still don't know anything other than 2022 is supposedly the year. And then John Taloney, this is a new person commenting on our tweets, said, make Grant Gustin the star or don't bother. If using Flashpoint lets that happen, I'm all for it. Grant Gustin gets me out first week to see it. Anyone else, even a Netflix watch, is questionable.
I completely agree with this person. I like him.
You'd think Warner would let them learn from Disney's integration of the MCU, but maybe not. So.
But, okay, good.
we can parlay that into one of the biggest things in DC television movie history happened this past week, which was on the Crisis on Infinite Earths. They did cross over the movies and the TV shows for the first time ever.
Wow, so, I didn't realize that we needed an intro for that.
So, Ezra Miller, who plays Flash in the movies, appeared in Crisis with Grant Gustin. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But, yeah, I was shocked they did it. It makes sense, but go ahead.
If you watch the... I watch a lot of YouTube reaction videos because I'm lonely. And basically, like, everybody, like, the reaction videos are just absolutely fun to watch because it's one of the rare moments where people are taken completely by surprise. And you've got drop draws. You've got people literally falling out of their chairs. I use the word literally a lot, but in this case, it's, you know, appropriate. It's appropriate. People falling out of their chairs, people, you know, hitting the wall behind them. It's just, it's fun. So, it's cool, actually. It's one of the only cool things that DC's done in a long time.
Yes, yes. We will talk more about that a little later in the show. But, yeah, it was definitely one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. Moving on a little bit with Social Media Madness. Of course, we also talked about the Morbius trailer last week. And let's see, there's this guy, House of D, had said, I'll give this movie props for not making him a sexy vampire.
I thought it was coming with Jared Leto. I thought, oh, they're going to sexy this up. But, I mean, they did for the most part, but at least the last reveal shows us that, they're going to do it.
Yeah, but still, considering what he looks like in the comics, that would have been a stretch. I mean, that...
Yeah.
I mean, Marvel, well, this in case Sony, they're usually pretty good about, you know, keeping things keeping things strict to the comics, you know, at least not going so far as to turn, well, you know, I mean, they were going to go like Wade Wilson, turn him into a model. So I couldn't see them trying to do that here.
I thought at least the nose. I thought they were going to, like, do something with the nose. I did not expect the full-on, like, upturned nose. Like, I guess I was at least expecting a little bit of aesthetic change there.
You mean after the Sonic thing, you think they'd change anything?
That's a good point.
Yes. I'm kind of hoping that the sexy vampire stage is done, but we'll
see. No, we've got sexy zombie coming up, I'm sure.
Oh, God. And Patrick Chirico said Morbius looks good. So there you go.
Well, he looks bad, which is good. So.
Right. I think that's exactly what he meant. I think we all understood that. So, yes, I think people are in agreement. He looks good. Thank goodness they didn't make him sexy. And keeping our fingers crossed, it's going to be a good movie. And then finally, so this is something, it wasn't a reaction to one of our stories or tweets. It was something Jay Sandlin, who's a fellow podcaster, he puts out these questions on Twitter every once in a while. And he'll tag people in it. And I thought that'd be fun. We could discuss this a little bit on the show. And his question was, it was Happy Spider-Man Sunday. In your opinion, what is the web slinger Peter Parker's biggest personal problem?
Sony.
Biggest personal problem.
Well, they've made it pretty damn personal.
I'm gonna say the fact that Yeah, right, exactly. Right. I'm going to say the fact that he ages, that he's forced out of the high school stage and stuff seems to get awkward.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The fact that one of his arch enemies can do a better job than him?
I mean, it's interesting that, too, they aged him in the comics and made him a 20-something, you know, and yet it doesn't really feel like the other characters aged around him.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a strange dynamic there with the whole age. And I'm not a huge Spider-Man collector, but yeah, I agree. It's just not consistent.
Right. I actually, being a big Spider-Man fan and have read many of his comics, I kind of always thought it was his self-doubt. Like, you know, there's so many stories, especially when he goes up against a bigger foe where, you know, he's like, uh-oh, I got to get the Avengers up. Oh, let me try to get the Fantastic Four, you know. And then he ends up having to face them on his own, and he wins. And, you know, but he never goes into a fight thinking, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to win.
Well, it's like he forgets that he can pick up a car and throw it at people.
Yes. Or that his spider sense literally solves every other problem for him.
Yeah, the Peter tingle.
Oh, you went there.
I thought it was funny.
No, but seriously, the spider sense makes him basically almost invincible. Unless you do something like if I remember correctly, as a weakness to a certain chemical insecticide or something. And then there's like the symbiotes. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, you know, the spider sense is like one of those things where the only reason he ever gets hurt or gets shot or anything like that is lazy writing.
Yes and no. I think it depends on the writer and the time period, you know, especially I want to say in the late 80s, early 90s, they definitely took his spider sense to the highest possible level where, right, he could like never get hit. But, you know, Stan Lee, and I think they tried to reflect this in the new movies a little bit. It's so much information coming in. He has a hard time determining what's a real danger and what's, you know, a minor danger. Like, and, you know, that's like why in the movies he has those goggles to help him focus and all that. But yeah, like if you read the first issue of Spider-Man written by, Todd McFarlane, like, you know, he basically, right, he can't get hit, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the point of the spider sense. It's like precognition. He basically can detect when something's incoming at him, when attention is given to him that might do him harm. So that should, I mean, if the way it's written, anytime you try to go and hit him, he should know about it before it happens. And with his reaction time and his strength, he should be able to avoid anything.
But here's and it talks about this in some of the stories too. It's like, if someone's going to swing and hit him and there's someone's going to cross the street and about to get hit by a car, which danger, you know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't know which. It doesn't tell him which danger is which. It just tells him there's danger.
Yeah, I remember. I thought I remember them writing it where you could tell where it was coming from. But, you know, that again, these things change in the comic books.
Yeah.
Still, like even its most passive form, it's still almost completely OP.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like Venom. Like, I don't identify with Eddie Brock or slimy, gooey aliens or anything like that. But growing up, Spider-Man was like numero uno superhero, right under Superman and Batman. And I'm kind of a counterculture guy, at least I was at that point. So, you know, I love the fact that Venom could sneak up behind Spider-Man and tap him on the back, whether it be to try and kill him or to just, you know, do something goofy. But I agree. Definitely that's a deus ex machina that he has, that certain writers will, like you said, make him OP. And so that's what originally attracted me to Venom, that he could get around that. And I was like, oh, wow, he's actually a real threat. And he looks cool. Yeah, I agree.
Cool. All right.
So, I'll stick with Sony. That's still my.
All right. Cool. So, I'll take this moment then to say, you know, those who participate in such Media Madness, thank you. And if you aren't doing so already, Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at Superhero Speak, and on Facebook, facebook.com/SuperheroSpeak, and, you know, comment on our posts, and we will mention you in the show. And some other great shows to follow, of course, are the Geek World All-Stars, hashtag GW All-Stars on Twitter, and, of course, those podcasts are the So Wizard Podcast, the Gorilla Brain Podcast, Pop Prism Power Podcast, my mind just went blank. Fans on Patrol, Cult 45, and yours truly, Superhero Speak. And even though they're not part of the, even though he's not part of the Geek World All Stars, you should also check out D Square.
So. Absolutely, but yeah, all those shows are cool. I love that So Wizard Podcast, and I love the fact I must have been traumatized by that dumb line in the Star Wars movies that I forgot all about it, and then when I listened to it and they played their little snippet, and I'm like, oh. That's right. The lamest line ever in a Star Wars movie. That's So Wizard, Annie. So, anyway. I love Star Wars, by the way, unconditionally, but that's just a dumb line. It's not a theme. That's not a saying that's ever going to catch on. So, anyway.
That is the perfect note to take a quick break. I'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. Let's talk a little news. So we don't really have a lot of news to talk about this week. We have a couple good things to talk about. First off, Marvel apparently did talk, Kevin Feige did talk to Patrick Stewart about possibly coming back, for the X-Men movies, and he has said he will not be returning as Professor X.
Not surprising. He's about to make, CBS All Access a lot of money.
Maybe. I'm still not going to get that channel.
I'm going to get it just to watch this one show. I'll wait a few. What is it? It's not being binged, and they're not releasing everything at once. So I'm going to wait like a couple of weeks, and then I'll get it and watch a few episodes. And if I like it, I'll keep it until the end of that. Until the end of that season, and then I'll cut it out. Yeah, I mean, like, it's the only thing I can think of that I'm actively really interested in watching, with the exception of the season 2 of The Witcher now, because I just finished, and I'm like, they ended it there? And, well, you know.
So given that he's definitely not coming back as Professor X, is there anyone out there you think could play Professor X?
Oh, you know, I'm really saddened by this news, although it makes all the sense in the world. But I'm really sad because he was the perfect Professor X back in the early 90s when, you know, I picked up my Wizard book. I don't know if you guys remember that comic book pricing guide from back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
This subject of who's going to play who in the X-Men movie must have ran every month for 10 years. And that was the person that was picked all the way back then. But it makes sense. And at this point, I'd love to see them do McAvoy again. Just, I know they can't, but I do think if they actually went with him again and said, no, you're always going to be bald. None of this apocalypse gives you a mystic haircut bullshit. Other than that, I'm having a hard time thinking of who else could do it.
Vin Diesel. I mean, he's already under the umbrella doing the voice of Groot. Why not? Yeah, and he's bald.
You don't think he's going to be too busy with the Bloodshot universe there? The Bloodshot property?
I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, it depends on how good the first movie is, but I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. That's a good question. I hope they would go... I mean, that's the thing, too. You kind of hope... not. Obviously, you don't want to go young for Professor X, but go younger, someone that can have around for a little while.
Yeah, kind of like what Deadpool said. We need somebody who can pull in the younger crowd and last 5 to 10 years in a franchise.
Could we do Bryan Cranston?
Oh, that would... you know, the amount of menace in him. Although he's got a funny side, too. He might work... Because I was actually in a presser at the New York Comic Con with him for Supermansion. And he's definitely got a real good sense of humor. So,
Professor X does have kind of like a dark tinge to him. Maybe not at first, but he does end up being kind of a darker character. So there's a little bit of dark there that he could work with.
True. Hmm. You still want somebody who could look at Deadpool and say, get over here and, you know, have Deadpool actually do it.
Right.
I mean, say my name, Professor X. Not wrong one. I don't know. I have no idea who else could play him. Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they're going to have to pick somebody. And it makes sense, though. I mean, seriously, they need to get away from the Fox stuff, you know. They need to cast on, even though they had the perfect actors for Professor X and Wolverine. Like, it wasn't just that they were the first people to play them. It's that they were the perfect people to play them. So maybe we'll get lucky again, though.
Okay, wait. Pull the ultimate hat trick. Have Hugh Jackman come back to play Professor X.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Oh, okay. I don't know. That would be interesting.
I'd give him credit for doing it, but yeah. No, I don't think it's happening.
Okay. All right. Moving on to comic book news. There was a...
Ooh, wait.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Scarlett Johansson. If she can play a tree, she can play a tree. And she's free now, right? Sorry. I couldn't... I had to get that one out. All right, go ahead.
We still don't know what's going on with Black Widow at this point.
Yeah.
So there's a current crossover story in the Marvel Comics called The Ruins of Ravencroft.
What is that? Because there's a Dungeons and Dragons Ravencroft, too. And I keep getting the two messed up. Every time I've seen a reference to that, I thought they were writing an article about D&D. And
that's Ravenloft.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's what I keep thinking of. And then, so what is Ravencroft?
Ravencroft is a insane asylum in the MCU, and I believe something happens to it. And so the story, like, I believe goes back in time and talks about the creation of the asylum, like when it was started.
This would be like seeing how Arkham Asylum began or something like that?
Imagine Arkham Asylum being, like, destroyed and everything inside of it just goes.
Right.
That's what happened in the Absolute Carnage storyline that concluded not too long ago. One Carnage went to get another Carnage. I'm not going to get into it. In Ravencroft. And a battle ensued. And, yeah, it got decimated and everything inside of it is free.
Carnage versus Carnager?
There's a bunch of Carnages in that storyline. But, yeah, it's Cletus Cassidy Carnage. And, I'm forgetting who else. I want to say it's J. Jonah Jameson or something. No. Green Goblin. Norman Osborn also became Carnage.
Whoa. Okay.
That's where the Red Goblin stuff comes from.
So one of the things that was revealed in this story, and I kind of thought was an interesting take, is that, of course, the Headless Horseman is actually a Ghost Rider, a spirit of vengeance, which makes sense if you think about it. And it kind of made me think, like, that's cool. Like, they really don't do that too much in comics. Every once in a while, they do it. And in fact, the other big story I can think of is Gotham by Gaslight, where Batman is in the past going after Jack the Ripper. Is there any other historical characters you could think of would make a cool addition to the Marvel or DC timelines?
Historical figures.
They could be fictional as well, like, you know, the Headless Horseman.
It'd be cool for, like, George Washington, for it to turn out that he's, like, part of Weapon Plus or something like that. If you pay attention to some of his wartime feats where he's just standing and he should be dead and it doesn't happen. But yeah, that is cool. I don't know if you guys saw the beginning of the Avengers run. That's been a year ago at this point, but they went back to like 10,000 BC with the quote unquote first Avengers.
Yeah.
And the Ghost Rider there was like some dude on a mastodon. So like, yeah, that's pretty cool that they're going back and doing that.
Well, first I'd like to see Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
But there's also what's the guy, Vandal Savage in DC? Like, he's been around. He was a caveman, so they could they could pull stories in, and they have, from like any part of the timeline, right down to you know, almost dinosaur times. So, and in fact, they've got dinosaurs that's Marvel that has the Savage Land, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So. I don't know. Geez. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to be something crazy. Genghis Khan was a mutant. I don't know. Or an alien. Possibly. It could be anything. It's kind of, I'd have to think about it.
Jesus was actually a Kryptonian.
Oh boy. Wow, you know, there's a lot of things I'll joke about. That's not going to be one of them.
Oh, okay, good. I finally found a line you won't cross.
Yeah, no. I'm not getting into. There's certain things that you do not discuss. Religion's one of them. I'm not getting into it.
Girth is another. Anyway, So moving on, sticking with comics, I found this article I thought was interesting, and I thought we could discuss it a little and see if we could add any characters. So this is 10 forgotten Marvel heroes who need a resurgence in the 2020s. And, you know, they're comic book characters that haven't been concentrated on in a while in the books. Of course, starting number 10 was Nova.
I feel that's not going to happen with the focus on Captain Marvel. I feel he kind of gets pushed out of that role a little bit, but yeah.
No, I won't disagree with you. And I kind of feel not only did it happen in the comics, I think it's going to happen in the movies now too.
Yeah.
They talked for a while about bringing Nova into the movies. Now all of a sudden Captain Marvel's here and it's like, well, what do we need Nova for?
She
does everything Nova does. So, of course, there's also the Thunderbolts. I don't know how you do the Thunderbolts in a world, and especially in a post. My problem with the Thunderbolts is that they've always felt like a ripoff of the Suicide Squad.
Well, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
But there have been some really cool iterations of the team. We've got Deadpool, so we can maybe bring him in at some point. I think they need to introduce the Red Hulk, which is General Ross. It's a nice team for the Punisher to land on.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of surprised they haven't done it yet. Elektra is another person that they could do, but, and maybe we'll get into this more when we're talking to the CW crossover, but of course Marvel doesn't cross over the TV shows with the movies yet.
Yes.
You know, if they do bring some of those characters in, that's a nice team for them.
Yeah,
I'm sure we're going to see something at some point, but I think they want to do the Dark Avengers first. I really got a feeling they're digging toward the Dark Avengers for whatever reason.
Yeah, no, and it's true too, because we are definitely in a world where they're more and more trying to tie in reflect what they're doing in the movies and the comics. So if they're going to go dark, and I think they're going to go Dark Avengers in the movies too. So now this is an interesting one, Night Thrasher, and.
Who the heck is Night Thrasher?
he was part of the New Warriors at one point. The interesting thing about Night Thrasher is there was a rumor a while ago, and I don't know what happened to it, that Spike Lee wanted to do a Night Thrasher movie, and he even had like an idea for a story for it. So
I thought I heard about that too, but yeah, then just nothing. So I don't know what played into that.
Does he even have any powers, or is he just basically like a Batman ripoff?
His power is that he is a Batman ripoff. That is basically it.
Okay, good. Good.
His power is that he's different. He's just a little bit different enough to be different enough from Batman that Marvel won't get sued.
Exactly.
Here's a character that like I don't really know anything about, which is a strange place for me to be when we're talking Marvel. But Cardiac.
They are really pulling stuff from the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that guy at all. Seeing the picture, I guess he looks like a newer superhero, but to me, Someone that they just come out with in 2000s is newer. So,
yeah, no, I agree. And if anyone listening knows anything about Cardiac, let us know, because we're kind of curious if he's worth bringing back. I don't even really want to talk about this next one.
But Sleepwalker, now, weirdly enough, I'm looking at the picture of Sleepwalker, and I know I have issues of that down in my basement somewhere.
Right.
I don't know why, but I do.
It is Sleepwalker's job to protect and guard the Mindscape. He does his job loyally and uses his many abilities in order to do so. He's one of the only unique characters out there, and we would love to see that originality come back to the comics.
Did this come out around the same time that movie Dreamscape came out?
I have a feeling, yes, probably.
I was about to say, he's the anti-Freddy Krueger, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's cross that over.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know, the idea of a character whose whole existence is in the Dreamscape, and he's trying to defend, and it's just like, but then that has no impact in the real world. What does that mean, you know?
Right.
And of course, then, a character who had a big role, I want to say in the early 2000s, and then kind of disappeared, Speedball, who later became Penance, and,
Was he on drugs?
Right. I can understand why they had to change the name there.
He was another member of the New Warriors, and basically, he's the catalyst in the comics that's responsible for kicking off Civil War. And then he feels guilty about that, and that's when he becomes Penance, in the comics. And it's
for all his drug use.
It's a very interesting arc. And he becomes part of the Thunderbolts, when he's Penance as well. It's an interesting character arc, but you know, I don't know how you build off of that into something new. To propel that character forward.
Yeah, that can happen a lot with some oddball characters. You put them in there, and then, okay, what do I do?
Right. Is anyone who Captain Ultra is?
Yeah, I've never seen this dude before, and I'm better off for it.
He looks like a 60s hero, not a 90s one. So.
I don't even know. Maybe 70s, but yeah.
Like, and this is more of an artist thing, I guess, but like, yeah, and then the two pictures that it shows in the article, the first one on the left there, he's pretty physically fit. The one on the right, though, he seems to have gained a couple pounds. That could just be bad artwork. I don't know, but that's throwing me off.
Yep. Spectrum. So
Spectrum, we already have in the MCU, right? Technically?
Well, we have Monica Rambeau in the MCU, but we do not have her as Spectrum, which is interesting because she actually has her powers before Carol Danvers in the comics. So I don't know if they're going to actually use her in the movie.
Well, in this case, she was. I thought she was the daughter, right? Wasn't she the daughter?
Is Monica the daughter or is Monica the friend?
I thought it was the daughter.
Yeah, I think it's the daughter.
Oh, you're right. Right. Monica's the daughter.
So she's all keyed up because that happened, you know, in the 80s. And that means that, you know, in the MCU, they're right about at the time when they could introduce her.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not denying that. It's just it's changing her origin drastically in the movies. So, I mean, let's put it this way. If they bring her in the movies, they'll definitely utilize her more in the comics. I don't have a doubt about that, you know?
And she's incredibly powerful. Like, I read up on her a couple of weeks ago, just so happened. Rob on Comics Explained did a section on her. And, I mean, damn, like, she can convert, like, any form of energy whatsoever. And that includes magic. She literally can walk through just about anything that anybody can throw at her.
Right, right. Yeah, we'll see.
I think they'll stay away from that Monica Rambeau and go with her as, like, Captain Marvel's protege.
Retell her origin again and bring her back that way. That's possible.
True. Yeah, because they don't need another Captain Marvel. Because I mean, literally, you know, they're gonna have a Superman problem with her, and she doesn't have a kryptonite. So right. Unless they invent one, which would be lazy writing again. But they don't need another hero that they literally cannot come up with something that can give her any trouble. Speaking of which.
So this is an interesting choice. So Captain Universe which really isn't necessarily a character more than the power cosmic being given to different characters throughout the history of the Marvel comics. Spider-Man even had it at one point. I think he used it when he went up against the Beyonder.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know if I want another Captain Universe story. I don't know. It's just like, it feels like, again, this feels like lazy writing.
I don't know.
We want to have this character.
A side quest to the greater Marvel, right?
Well, yeah, it felt like it was an excuse where it's like, we want this character to go up against this character. Oh, well. That hero isn't strong enough. Give him Captain Marvel power, Captain Universe powers. And it's like, oh, okay.
They could work it in, considering that they're about to introduce Scarlet. Excuse me. They're about to introduce Scarlet Witch and you know, her messing with the universe. We might get a House of M situation with WandaVision. So. You know, it could require somebody gaining this power to stop something. I don't know.
I'm still convinced WandaVision is going to be the MCU's version of the House Flashpoint. Of M. House of M, not Flashpoint, but yes.
Do you think that's going to happen in that show, the House of M?
Oh, yeah.
That would be great.
They've hinted at it.
Yeah, what it is. She snaps after the events of... Endgame and creates her own reality where she's a housewife in the 50s and Vision's her husband, and it's real. It's not just in her mind, you know.
And they make little cyber babies, and then she gets pissed off and goes nuts, and then she wipes out all with. Well, no, and then she brings the mutants into existence.
Into existence, yep.
Oh, the reverse of what she does.
Yes,
goes right. From millions down to 196, I believe. Okay. Interesting.
I could be way off, but I have a feeling that's where they're going with this.
Well, if they don't do that, if they actually do, like House of M and her decimate the mutants, that's going to be a problem because us mutant X-Men fans, we hate her now. So, to keep her not a person of hate. Oh, yeah, they throw all sorts of shade at her. And she's mentioned in the House of X series by Jonathan Hickman. Where, you know, they could basically retcon and redo anything. And she's referred to as like, the pretender. They throw all sorts of shade at her, say that she's everything she's responsible for. Like other people did mutant atrocities that they kind of explained away, but no, every one of them that she did, they say, nope, she did it. And that's how it is. So Yeah. In the X-Men universe, she's not a good person. Not liked.
Huh. Poor Wanda. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, now she's not the kid of Magneto anymore. You know, that's all retcon. So, yeah, she's kind of just out there.
All right. And then finally, the number one character. And this is also partially why I brought this list. was Darkhawk. And for those who listen to the show, know that Mike Manley, a friend of the show, he's been on a few times, is the co-creator of Darkhawk, along with Tom DeFalco, who is one of my all-time favorite comic book writers. And Mike will tell you that it was kind of like they needed a character to fill a slot. And Tom had come up with a couple ideas, and Mike drew this picture, and boom, Darkhawk was drawn.
He does look cool.
He does. And this one I definitely have copies of, an entire run down in my basement.
I was going to say, it was a short
really
run.
Really popular.
Short run in the early 90s. It's funny because Mike has the distinction of being the only artist on the book for its entire run. And so if they were going to bring it back, Mike, if you're listening, would you do the art? I'm curious. That would be interesting. Let's see what they said on CBR about him. Finally, we're topping off this list with the forgotten Marvel heroes, with the one and only Darkhawk. He's another character who has been popping up here and there in the comics, but we would so gladly see more of his character given half the chance. Christopher Powell got his powers when he came across an amulet on Earth. The amulet gave him the Darkhawk armor. It's actually quite a bit more complicated than that, but we're going to keep it short for now.
It's actually like an alien in the armor, right?
Right, right. From that on, Darkhawk proved he was quite talented at getting himself into strange situations, all while gaining more enemies for himself. Ironically, we've seen him work with Nova, which sounds like the perfect excuse to bring him back now. So that could be the next team-up book, Darkhawk and Nova.
If you could say it, that would be great.
I don't know. It'd be cool. It's a character not a lot of people are familiar with. Unless you were a collector in the 90s, you probably have the books.
What slot did he fill, I guess? You say he was a slot, he filled a role. What, like a power? Rangers in the MC, the Marvel comics.
No, it was a thing where they wanted to put out X number of new books.
Okay.
So they kind of just brainstormed a bunch of characters. That's where Night Thrasher actually came from as well.
Quasar came out about the same time too.
Yes. So there's a bunch of those characters that just popped up in the 90s. Some of them lasted, 10 books. Some of them lasted a couple of years.
He was not one of the ones to get into the Marvel Swimsuit Edition at the time.
I actually bought that.
I've got three or four of them in my basement, too.
It lasted till 95. It was a 50-issue run, So, that's the thing. It was popular enough the last 5 years. But, yeah, it was just one of those things. The 90s were a weird time in comics, guys.
I know.
That's what a crash will do to you.
Yes. Are there any characters you can think of that haven't been around in a while you'd like to see make a resurgence or pop up in the movies, maybe?
Static Shock.
From Marvel.
Static Shock. Squirrel Girl.
Yeah,
no, she's been everywhere.
No, she hasn't. She's been in the cartoons, but the animated series. But she hasn't been. I'd like to see a live action Squirrel Girl. I'd like to see it. Even if it's just a freaking cameo, for crying out loud. Yeah. It's one of their more interesting characters. But it seems like they're more likely, and they already have. They're more likely to bring back Howard the Duck than somebody as interesting as Squirrel Girl. So, whatever.
And yes, they have brought him back.
Yep, sure enough.
We'll get the mutant called Skin before we get Squirrel Girl. That's how bad this is.
We'll never get that, thankfully. Speaking of mutants, though, that's where I'm going to go with mine. Mimic. Not sure if you guys remember Mimic. He actually was originally an X-Men villain, then became a hero in the Exiles series. So his power is he can basically absorb and keep using five mutant powers. He just has to be close to them, and then he'll be able to access their powers. And so it was cool reading about him in the first Exile series, where he's basically he's got Wolverine's healing factor, he's got Colossus's organic skin, he uses Angel's wings, Cyclops's optic blast without needing to have a visor, and I'm forgetting the last person because it really doesn't matter. He changes it all the time. But I would love to see him pop up in the new X-Men run, since they can revive everybody now, and as well as pop up in like one of the X-Men movies. It'd be cool. I don't think I'm going to see him in the movies though, because I think he's kind of OP. So I don't know if they're going to put that sort of thing in the movies. But
yeah, just put him next to Kara Danvers or Molecule Man, and that's it. Done.
Yeah, no, exactly. He actually did absorb some of the Sentry's powers at some point, which was
Cripes. How did they ever stop him?
The Exiles series was really weird. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's basically a team put together outside of time so they could go through and correct all sorts of various timelines. And it's not one of those comics where you're like, okay, cool, here's the team, and we're going to be with these guys for like 10, 20 issues. No, people die all the time, and they have to pluck new members out of other time streams. So crazy shit happens. At one point, it's all Wolverines. Like, even the zombie Wolverine is on the team. It's, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a cool series. Check it out.
Cool. I don't know. I think one of my favorite characters does not get enough love in the comics. And, you know, if they ever do a live-action Spider-Verse movie, they should utilize Mayday Parker, Spider-Girl. So.
Not Gwen.
Oh God, never.
I don't know. I still don't understand what you have against her. But okay, fine.
You're laughing, Don. What do you have against Mayday Parker?
No. It could work. They get Marissa Tomei on it. I mean, we have a younger, a younger Aunt May, and it could work.
You put Marissa Tomei in spandex, and you're going to break $1 billion on the opening weekend.
There you go.
I wasn't going there with it, but okay.
I'm just being realistic. I mean,
if they can do Spider-Gwen and Gwenpool, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Yikes. Gwenpool. All right.
Yeah, I don't get all that yet. I don't know why Gwen has to be everything. I don't know what I don't know where that came from. It's just boom, hey, Spider-Gwen, oh hey, about Gwenpool. Anyway.
Yeah, that was just ridiculous. It was let's not get into that. All right, let's move on. Let us talk a little DC. Of course, we need to talk about the cameo and the crossover of the Crisis on Infinite Earths miniseries, which, you know, I will say this. So a question came up, is this going to lead to more possible crossovers? Because the interesting thing about the Ezra Miller cameo is it was Warner Brothers' idea. They wanted to do it.
Yeah, they called up the showrunner for the CW stuff as they were in, like, they were just finishing a post for the last, the fifth episode of the Crisis thing, the last one.
Right.
And, you know, it was basically, it went something along the lines of, we'd like to have Ezra Miller come down and do something. We'll make it happen. Aren't you finished with post? We'll make it happen. And they did. They had, and nobody noticed too. Like, apparently through some fluke, everybody that was on the crew, and they used the crew of the Flash crew to do it, because the Arrow crew had already, like, I guess they were already breaking down stuff. Nobody on the crew said anything, and nobody seemed to notice that Ezra Miller, like, took a jaunt to Canada.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's how they kept that under wraps. Is beyond me, because that was
nobody was looking for it. I think literally just nobody was looking for it.
Right. That's what I was about to say. I was about to say, well, unfortunately, I think the sad truth is nobody cares. I'm not saying nobody cares, but nobody's following Ezra Miller like they are Chris Hemsworth or, you know, something like that. So I think that's so unfortunately, I think it's a negative kind of. But hey, it was cool.
And it generated a lot of positive. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. And I think it breathes a little new life into the idea of the Flash movie, whether or not that's a good thing at this point. That remains to be seen. But as you know, the thing is, the more I think about it, it really isn't that surprising because there is so much connective tissue, especially in the beginning of the crossover, that maybe people forgot about. You know, tying in the Michael Keaton Batman movie, the 66 Batman TV show.
The Birds of Prey from the 1990s.
Right, right.
Like, literally everything is canon now. Everything that DC's done in the movies and on TV is now canon.
The original Supermans, Christopher Reeve Supermans, that's now, you know, we get to see the continuation of that character in this crossover, which I thought was astounding.
Yeah.
Sad to see where he kind of ended up, but.
Well, no. At the end, you saw where he ended up. He didn't have the Dark S anymore.
Right. Not ended up, but where it was going there as far as like all the people he'd lost. But yeah, you're right. It did end up in a really cool place. Well, and that was really satisfying for that character.
Well, no, the thing is that his universe got rebooted too, and Lois Lane is now alive again.
Right, yeah.
So but it was interesting to see Kingdom Come Superman as well. And then, unfortunately, Swamp Thing has his own universe. Apparently that one died off really quick, though.
that's what I was thinking. I'm like, wait a minute, there's Swamp Thing, but didn't, okay, great.
Yeah, it's like, all right, Swamp Thing has his own universe, but they killed him off already, come on. And Doom Patrol? And I mean, literally everything has its own universe now. So, but it remains to be seen what they're going to do in the future of the CW shows, because, you know, they used to cross over a lot with those extra universes, but now they've named a few of them as properties they really can't cross over. I mean, technically they can't, they normally do.
But at least for the CW, which, if I remember correctly, they're calling that Earth Prime, right? The CW?
Yes.
Okay. They're all together now, though. So that's kind of cool that they're all in the same Earth. Like, that could actually be a cool direction that they're going to go in, where, like, they're all, you know, it could be crossovers abound now, and they don't even have to leave the planet or universe.
Oh, yeah. They don't have to do any weird explanations and all that. And, there's some talk that, okay, Superman... first off, Superman's getting his own show. Second off, he now has two sons, and they're wondering if because this is Earth Prime, that one of those kids might become Superboy Prime.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get mad and punch reality again.
Yeah. And then we'll have Crisis 2.
Man.
No.
You've just ruined it for me.
We'll go to Armageddon, right? Or Crisis Aftermath or something. I don't know. Or no, that'll be Rebirth.
We'll get the Doomsday Clock and Dr. Manhattan to show up.
Who knows? I mean, you know, that's literally the only property that they did not hint at when they were showing all the different universes at the end or throughout the entire series. Seriously, this five show crossover event was just amazing. Two years ago, you couldn't have thought that DC could have pulled anything like this off. And it wasn't DC that pulled this off. Let's be serious. This was the CW. They somehow made this happen. They planned for it for the last 4 years, and they did this. And now DC people, you know, I am the chief DC apologist for the show. I can actually hold my head high and say, hey, what you guys did in the movies, we did on TV, and we did it right, for crying out loud.
So you don't have to apologize for this one.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, and it's a weird feeling not having to apologize.
you guys both mentioned, Brandon Routh's, Superman and how that ties in with the Donnerverse and everything. And, I've seen a lot of buzz online about this justifies his casting as Superman because, and proves that Superman Returns problems were the script, not him as Superman. And there are people now saying, we want to see him continue as Superman and cross over into these shows every once in a while.
Yeah, all these young kids are like, hey, why we could have him play Superman in like a movie.
Right.
Yeah, been there, done that. Unfortunately, it didn't work out.
But was that ever in doubt? Like, as far as Superman Returns, like my complaint was never him. I thought he was perfect.
Yeah, the script was just too nice. The script they wrote the script like they had written it in the 90s. Which they shouldn't have done. They should have done an update. And then second, I forget, what's her name, played Lois Lane? I can't remember. That might have been partially directing, but she was a little bit young to play Lois Lane, and she really didn't have the presence to play her. And then on top of that, direction was pretty bad. So, you know, it was pretty much doomed from the start.
Yeah.
And that's just too bad, because I could dig a Superman movie with Brandon again. I really could. But apparently it's the whole reason he even agreed to do this crossover as Superman was to give it closure for himself. And I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, and basically for the rest of us to just give us agita, because it's like, damn it, that's what we could have had.
Kate Bosworth is who played.
She was really young at the time to play, you know, a 5 year older version of Lois Lane from the original Superman movies from the 70s, and she really didn't have the presence to do it.
Right. But I will say this, he did it right. He agreed to do it to give closure to it because of all the criticism he got for that movie. But now, if he hears all the praise he's getting for this take on Superman,
that'll be worth it.
He might turn around and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I will put the cape on one more time.
Which would be nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice because the current Superman is currently playing Witcher, and he's actually really good in that. So.
Yeah.
The CGI is much better in his mustache too in The Witcher. You don't notice it at all.
No. No, we don't want to go there.
Oh, we already went there. Come on.
So I'm gonna take the wheel and derail us here. Witcher. Did you read the books, John?
No, I actually will go back and read the books, but as I understand it, they did something a little bit different because of the timeline of the books and the fact that Yennefer, it was like just a side character. What they did with this series was they did the timeline slicing and basically built up Yennefer's character as well as the princess's character to the point where they're all major characters by the end. So the series will be a little bit different as it progresses than the books. But I should read the books. I want to now because
I'm having a hard time following it. Really? I mean, by the end of the season, you get a better picture of what's going on. But I was lost there for a while.
Oh, because of the timeline slicing.
Yeah.
Because you're bouncing back and forth between, like, I don't know, at least a couple of decades of time.
Is it it's decades that were? Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think we went a couple of decades, and I think that where it starts to tie together was the attack on Syntra. That's where you start to move forward, you know, all at the same time with all these characters. Because Yennefer's like, what, 70? No, she's got, I think Yennefer at this point is over 100. I'm not sure. So, you know, but it's good. I mean, the way they did it, okay, yeah, you could probably use a map, but beyond that, the storytelling is spot on. And by the end of this season, you really care about the characters, and they've gotten the backstory down pat, and you know you're just about ready. spoilers, people. You've just about ready to say, oh yeah, and he and the Witcher meets the princess, and you're like, yes, this is what the whole thing's been building up to. Fade to black.
Yeah.
You know, end of the season. Are you kidding me? and I saw posts on Facebook from friends of mine that had all been watching it. And they, you know, they were posting stuff like, damn, it was just getting good, and then they ended it. So I'll be looking forward to the next season. I mean, did you read the books yourself?
No, then that's why I'm trying to find out, like, does the books somehow make this all seem 10 times better?
Yeah, the books, so, like I said, as far as I understand it, in the books, Yennefer's like just a side character that comes in later. So
I haven't watched it yet. So, you know, you talked about there's all this build up. They finally meet and they fade to black. Is that kind of like The Force Awakens? There's all this build up. She finally gets to the planet, meets Luke Skywalker, and fades to black.
Yeah, well, only in this one you really want to see what happens next.
Oh.
Oh boy, below the belt. But yeah, exactly like that. But also it has a bunch of gratuitous nudity, which is great.
It's also,
for no reason. Hey, I'm summoning a demon, or no, I'm trying to get control of this genie. So let me get naked. Oh, okay, great. That's okay. We'll turn this off till the kids go to bed. Wonderful.
No. I mean, yeah, come on. What did you expect from it? But it's not completely gratuitous. I mean, you could say that Game of Thrones had way more really gratuitous nudity.
Agreed.
Than this did.
All right. Now I know what I'm gonna watch tomorrow. I mean,
My only other complaint, and I mentioned this on my podcast, and it's got to, and this isn't just a Witcher though, it's every fantasy related TV show. Stop calling wyverns dragons. Stop it. If you're gonna have a dragon, put a fucking dragon in there. Okay.
I'm sorry. With
I'll take my hand.
Not impressive enough, not big enough for you.
I don't know. I just, to me, a dragon's got hind legs and front legs and wings, not wings that have little claws on the end. And anyway, I'm gonna take my hands off the wheel so you can guys get it back.
Okay. Whoa, we almost crashed there. Keeping within the DC realm a little bit, Watchmen will not be getting a second season.
Man,
but they said that they finished the story that he wanted to tell, right? The guy who wrote it. So
right.
Did it not end in a cliffhanger?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Great. You know, I'm with you. I haven't watched it yet. I had a lot of people that said I should. I'm glad I didn't. But from what I read today, it ended on a cliffhanger. And they've even been given the option to continue the series with, well, you go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Well, Damon Lindelof, who created the series, basically said he has no interest in continuing to do it, which is weird. I guess because he feels he told the story he wanted to, but obviously I didn't watch it, but you're telling me it ends in a cliffhanger. Yeah, which I get, like, that might be HBO's doing, in the sense of they want to keep people hooked and looking for the next season, and, you know, if they just end it, you know, they're not going to get another season out. So do you think HBO will continue it without him?
From what I read, they won't. He's given them permission to do so, and they said, we don't think it's going to work without him. That's what I read.
Huh.
Which makes sense. I mean, the storytelling in this thing, as I understand it, was, I really wish I'd watch it, because I don't like going off, you know, half-cocked with theories about something that we're talking about.
Wait, what? Since when?
Yeah, I know. That's like... That's all there is in my show notes that you send me every week. Go off half-cocked on weird theories. Now, from the people I know I've heard that have watched it, it was like threading a needle, this storytelling. Like, it was a very specific story they wanted to tell, and it'd be very iffy that anybody else could really pick it up with the same tone. And with the same, carefulness, the same ability to handle that universe.
I'll just never be I'll never be able to understand the goal of these people, though. Okay, like you or I, if we had this wildly successful thing going, everybody loved it, we would feel some sort of obligation to continue on, as well as we want to continue getting the paychecks. But like this dude and the Double D's, you know, that did the Game of Thrones, like how are these guys just sitting in this mountain of success? And they say, eh, nah, don't worry
because
about it.
Because they're sitting in a mountain of success and they don't have to worry about it.
Well,
right?
I think, though, like in this country, we're used to, like in England, you know, they'll do a show for one season, maybe two, and then just end it, you know, and people are used to that over there. In this country, we want to keep consuming it as long as they'll make it. And
even when the flavor starts to run out and it yes. starts to go bad and growing moss.
Yeah, just like Heroes.
Exactly. Yes, Heroes is a perfect example.
But knowing that, you know, and knowing how people are in this country and how we consume things like this, then go in saying, this is a mini series. It's going to be one season and when I'm done, I'm done. Or go in, make a movie, but don't go in and say, here's season one of a show and then have a bunch of people like it and then turn around and go, yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, just flake out. you're right. My wife is she watched some British, it's called The Accident or something. I think it was like 3 hour long episodes or whatever. So I get that, but come on. I mean, how many seasons of Power Rangers have we had? I mean, we certainly, you know.
Not enough.
Yeah, we certainly beat dead horses here. That's what we do here in America. But isn't there some responsibility to the people that have taken your story? I mean, John, you're a writer. And when you get this book done, I don't know. Do you have a whole universe where you can do 10 other books or is this a contained thing?
No, I purposely started it as a universe. So yeah, I mean, but it wasn't because I wanted to milk my original idea. It's because my idea spans a couple of books. Like there's no way to tell the story I want to tell with just one book.
Yeah.
There's too many characters, too many side stories, you know, it's that's the way it is. So, but there is something to be said to having, you know, somebody stop when a story is finished and not continue just to have another story. Right. I mean, it should be OK. You're right. In our current social structure, we like to take something and milk it for everything it's worth.
Continue. Until everybody hates it, like Star Wars. Anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's all. And that's the perfect example right now. Right.
Well, you know, not for me. I love it. But, but this is one scene. Like, it was, to me, I was just starting to contemplate watching it. You know, like JD, who said, you know, I'm with him. I don't like the superhero deconstruction. So Watchmen isn't exactly my thing. But you hear all this great stuff about this season. So I'm like, maybe I should watch it. Oh, wait, it's done. Okay, great. Oh, it's the guy from Lost. Okay, he's afraid. He doesn't want to end any more series because he doesn't.
He just doesn't know how to end them.
So that's what he's going to do. Just, fuck it, I'm done.
That's what it is. Oh.
So cutting a storyline off for him is better than actually trying to end it.
Yeah, that's the lesser of two evils.
I didn't realize it was the same guy. There you go. You explained the whole thing to me, Don. I'm good. Okay, we can move on. And moving on, let's talk a little bit about Oscar Isaac. Of course, he was Poe Dameron in the wonderful Star Wars movies that we all love. And he has been picked to star in Brian K. Vaughan's Ex Machina, even though he already started a movie called Ex Machina that had nothing to do with this Ex Machina.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so Ex Machina, okay. Adaption of The Great Machine is the series. It's a comic book by Brian K. Vaughan. He will be the lead in that. And Ex Machina, that movie, that sci-fi movie he was in, was just of the name.
All right.
So I guess then you've never read the Brian K. Vaughan comic.
No.
How about you, John?
can't remember if I did or not. I'm very familiar with it, but I don't think I have.
Okay, and then JD's not here, and I haven't read it, so okay, maybe we should move on. No,
but you're talking about like that. The comic isn't the like the movie Ex Machina about the android, right?
No, it's the story of Mitchell 100, the world's first and only superhero, as the great machine 100 managed to save one of the Twin Towers on 9/11. The comic followed 100's term in office as the mayor of New York and the origins of his powers, but it was always more of a political story than a superhero tale.
Hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it could be interesting. It's definitely, one of those like, ooh, let's do a superhero movie, but let's do something different than the Marvel formula. And someone saw this property and was like, oh, this would work, you know? So yeah, I mean, can you see, Oscar Isaac as a superhero guy?
Well, he basically was in Star Wars. I mean, they put him in charge of the entire rebel fleet after he pulled like you know what he did on that on the middle movie. What was it? The
Jedi.
Yeah, where he basically rebelled against the rebellion.
You're gonna get court martialed for questioning what was her Admiral Hoda or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was a villain. He played Apocalypse poorly. And
was the script.
And Apocalypse is now kind of a hero in the comics, so I'll connect those dots. He's a great actor. All jokes aside, he's a great actor, and I agree with you, John. The whole Apocalypse thing, like, he just didn't know any better. He was just doing what the writers and directors told him to do, and I did enjoy him as Poe Dameron. I mean, I think he could do it. He's a good actor.
Yeah, I think he could do it.
Just keep him away from Star Wars, John? Is that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think he's already learned his lesson.
Yeah, well, I mean, another thing is, you know, he was purple, and he was supposed to be blue, so.
Wait, purple? What are you talking about?
When he was Apocalypse.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, their, like, very original version of that character was purple, basically looked like Ivan Ooze from the first Mighty Morphin Power Ranger movie.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, they had to change up the color a little bit and just to make it some fucking semblance of the actual character in the comic books.
Well, yeah, not really, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the only reason I'd say Poe should go back to Star Wars is so we could see more of Zuri Bliss and Kerry Russell, so...
All right. Well, speaking of Star Wars, that guy Taika Waititi, you know, that director we all kind of like. apparently, Lucasfilm wants him to direct a Star Wars movie.
For crying out loud! They should give it a rest for a couple of years before they dive back into it. I know they're not going to, but they should.
Well, I mean. Let's be realistic. It takes a couple years just to get a movie through pre-production anyway. So if they want to have one come out in 4 years, they probably need to get going on it now.
You know? No, I think they need more of a break. I think they need to take a couple years and think about what they've done.
Oh, my God. You're just never going to let this go, are you, John?
No, I'm not. I am certainly not.
Okay, so Don... What kind of do you think he's a good choice to direct a Star Wars movie, and what kind of story do you think he should do? Okay.
I think he's a good choice. Our most recent evidence is him directing the last episode of The Mandalorian, which I'm currently continue to geek out about, seeing the Darksaber from Moff Gideon. It was just awesome. Just really tells you where they're willing to go with this series. But I tell you, I don't agree with John. I don't think we need a large hiatus. But again, I do gluttonously consume all things Star Wars. But to a little bit of his point, I don't want to see a continuation. Go back. Darth Revan, Knights of the Old Republic. Now, unfortunately, from what I understand, their next movie is not going to be Old Republic. It's going to be High Republic, which is like Yoda's still running around as a young Jedi Knight, like right before the prequel. So
you got to get more of that Baby Yoda money, right?
More of that Baby Yoda money. That's right. Yeah. And yeah, for sure. So I, you know, Thor Ragnarok was cool. I mean, I love the direction that he is willing to go as a director. Arguably, you know, I just love the Jack Kirby stuff that he did in the Thor Ragnarok movie. And I'm ready for that with Star Wars. I'm ready for it not to be like super completely serious because I don't think they do a great job of it anyway. So great. Give us just space opera fun, and I think he's the guy to do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that. You know, I think he does know how to bring a balance to a movie. You know, comedy and adventure and some seriousness. So yeah, I'd be curious to see what he could do with a Star Wars movie. Mm.
Just don't give him a puppet to punch.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Wait, don't give him a puppet to punch. Are you talking?
Well, one of they were the two stormtroopers that were punching Baby Yoda.
Yeah. The scout troopers. Yeah.
They didn't have like a spare prop that was the actual Baby Yoda prop that they had in the bag. And they had to stop the scene, walk over, and tell him, "Yeah, that thing cost $5 million. So why don't you don't punch it so hard?"
Well, that seems short-sighted on the prop master's part by not making sure the bag was empty before they started punching it.
Or you know, just like have a spare Baby Yoda doll or something they could use for stuff.
Right.
But yeah,
that's go to Walmart for $10.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You use their own marketing to their advantage.
Yeah, that's true, because I'm sure the toys were out by then. Yeah, that's nuts. So, all right. I don't know where... Though I will say this, I am Star Wars out a little bit for now. I want to see more Mandalorian. I want to see more Mandalorian, but other than that, I can't see where they would go with movies at this point. You know,
they got to go back. They can't go forward right now. That's the thing I think they need a break from. They need to go back with the high mysticism, they need to go balls to the wall. I don't know. I guess I'm that strange that I'm not Star Wars out. I'm currently finishing up the Clone Wars animated series. I'm going to move on to Rebels. I'm playing Jedi, the Fallen Order. But then again, I don't know. I'm a strange guy because, John, who do you have on the back of your computer there in the background? What is that lady's name?
The back of my computer?
What yeah, your background on your computer. Who's in the background of your computer?
Rainbow Dash?
Last time you mentioned a female, the one that played the masked character in the Rise of the Skywalker.
You mean Carrie Russell?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's what a normal guy has on their background.
not Rainbow Dash, which I certainly don't have as a background.
I have Epion.
Oh, well, there you go. All right.
On all my computers.
Dave Scott in the crossfire. But yes, Carrie Russell playing Zori Bliss.
Oh my goodness, you two worry me.
Well, I did tell you I sleep on a Voltron pillow, right? My wife actually puts up with that. I think I did actually on the last time.
Yeah, but you know, here's the real question: is it the Lion Voltron or the Vehicle Voltron? Or is it the lesser known three robot Voltron?
Yeah, it's the Lion. It's one. Yep, it's a. Yeah, that lesser-known one is, boy, that's a hell of a reference there. Kudos to you.
I do deep dives, especially when it comes to anime.
You've all seen the Netflix Voltron, right?
I got two seasons into it, and then I couldn't stand it anymore. And from what I've heard, it only got worse.
What?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Okay.
It just got too stupid.
I mean, it's got some campy stuff to it, but it's also got some really cool shit.
Yeah, but they lost their way. Like, the plot meandered all over the place. At least it was doing that when I got in, and from what I heard, that only got worse, where they didn't know what to do with it, apparently.
So, I didn't get that impression at all when watching it. It seemed, okay, all right.
Maybe I'll go finish it and see what happens. I've finished everything else.
Except for Picard.
Yes, well, Picard, that's pretty much it. And it's a dry season for actual anime on Crunchyroll.
You got to go watch the Watchmen now. We all have to see what the hype was and see if there's a cliffhanger they ended on so we can complain about it.
I'm not really interested in that.
Oh, man.
I've got books that I'm mildly interested in that I would rather do read before I watch Watchmen, really.
All right.
I need to get caught up on my R.A. Salvatore stuff. I haven't read one of his books in like a decade. Jesus.
I have signed copies of his books. I met him. I almost had an interview with him. Damn it.
All right, guys, we're devolving here. So
it's late. So yeah.
It's late. I think I got to get up early and go to the gym. So I think we'll wrap up and we'll close. Do you guys have any recommendations for our listeners? We'll start with you, Don.
The Rise of Kylo Ren comic series is I'm loving it. It's two issues in. You get a lot of cool questions answered, as well as some more questions that are asked. So I definitely recommend you check that out. Ignore the creepy Ben Solo and Snoke scenes. They're kind of doing some strange embraces there. But outside of that, it is really, really cool. It picks up right after Luke Skywalker and Ben Solo have their tiff. And it's just interesting as hell.
Cool. How about you, Johnny Boy?
Well, first off, go watch The Witcher. And then please join the rest of us in cursing them out for having ended the season where they did and not having the second season ready. Second off, don't punch your baby Yodas.
All right. I'm going to recommend always have a spare baby Yoda prop.
Yeah, you should send that directly to the director for that.
And if you haven't already, I'm going to recommend you go subscribe to the House of D podcast wherever podcasts are found. Might as well make sure you check out the rest of the Geek World All Stars. And I have not watched The Witcher yet, so I'm going to do that. I recommend. If you haven't watched it, go check it out, because John liked it, so it must be good.
The fighting is top-notch. It is literally the best fighting I've ever seen in a show, and my wife likes it, so I'm going to keep watching it, too. I'm a little lost. I'll get there, but the fighting is awesome.
And just don't watch it with the kids around.
Yes.
Apparently. Well, there's some bloody scenes, too, that really aren't appropriate for kids. So.
You know what? My kids could care less about that stuff. Maybe when the grandkids are not around, you might want to check that one out.
All right. So then there we go. And on that note, boys, girls, as always, thanks for listening. Don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.